biggest cowboy's hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning. Time permitting, you get in on the text line 251-343-0106. I neglected to do this in the last segment. The programming note for Monday, Jennifer Fidler, my state lawmaker, will make time for us tentatively. And Dale Jackson, his Monday appearance as well. The guest to be named later. I just got to make it through today, and we'll figure out who the guest will be for Monday after this concludes. Joining us now on the line, we do this every week. Always a pleasure. Our returning champion joins us, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, trying to dodge some rainstorms down here in South Alabama. It's officially the end of summer, and that's what we get.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Can you confirm that you're not on the Jeffrey Epstein client list?
I absolutely can confirm that. not on the Jeffrey Epstein client list, and haven't ever been to a Coldplay concert either, so I'm in good shape there.
And if you start going to Coldplay concerts, that would be a bigger scandal than taking a mistress, having a mistress, period, hanging out at a Coldplay concert.
It is a crazy world we live in right now, that's for sure.
I would be disappointed in that. But we'll move along. I'm sorry, some of your colleagues, they come on in the legislature. I just feel like, and maybe it's just because there's election sort of scuttlebutt going on. Not a lot of discussion about the 2026 legislative session. There's been some pre-filed bills, but nothing really new, earth-shattering. It does feel a little slower on that front.
Well, I think you're right in that. There are some things that have been pre-filed, or maybe refiled is a better way to put it. And honestly, if there's a silver lining to some of the things, being left on the table and not getting passed last session, is that we've got a heck of a place to start this session. And honestly, I think there were a lot of things that we just didn't get done, ran out of time, et cetera, that probably were, I won't say non-controversial, but were in a position to pass had we had the time. And I think what we can do now is start there. That'll kind of load the machine up, if you will, because you got to start somewhere, and get back to work on some things that that folks have been working on and trying to get across the line. But no, I haven't seen anything that's significant, that's very controversial, or going to be a bunch of hand wringing. And that's, again, as you well know, not atypical,
right? Even the need for it hasn't arisen. Last year it was public safety. The year before that, the gambling discussion, and it seemed really like we were talking a lot about the Alabama legislature in the middle of the summer compared to years past. And like I said, right now it is shaping up. I guess what sort of like the foreshadowing is sort of a maybe, and knock on wood here, a tame session.
Yeah, and I think, you've got some external factors in there that are maybe driving that, right? So you've got, essentially, again, still new-ish leadership in the Senate, right, with Senator Gudger. I mean, he's through his first session. I think he did a great job with that. But, I think anybody that's in a role that big, it's going to take him more than a couple of months to say, okay, I got this. So I think he's continuing to grow into that role. I think he's going to do a great job doing that. You've got a governor that's leaving, right? This is the end. And so I haven't seen or heard any top legislative priorities out of her yet, if there are going to be any. And so a lot of eyes are on Senator Tuberville and what his legislative priorities are going to be coming up. And there are people that are kind of making a calculation saying, okay, we've got a new governor coming in. Does that change the calculation as it relates to some of these bigger ticket items that are a little bit more controversial? And so I think there's some of those calculations going on right now as well.
Do we have any sense what that looks like? I mean, I know this is hyper-speculative, and I expect it to be a stark contrast to the status quo. But
for sure.
I don't really know what to expect. He hasn't spent a lot. We had him on the program, and whenever you bring up like these sort of state-centric issues, he sort of pushes it back to the federal side. And they may not have like really given it much thought or enough thought yet to speak about it. But I you know, this is what we do. We speculate on this show. Well, what does what will 2028 be like in Alabama under a new governor?
Well, look, I think Senator Tuberville is focused on being Senator Tuberville right now, right? There's a lot going on in Washington right now to advance the president's agenda, and I'm glad that he's running through the tape on that and focused on what I think he needs to be focused on, which is his current job. So good for him. You know, a lot of people would check out and say, no, I'm going to the next thing. He's focused on what he was elected to do, which is serve, you know, be the senator, and he's doing just that. And so, you know, good for him, and he ought to be talking about things that are in Washington. But I think once he gets, you know, gets control of the reins in Montgomery, and in the governor's mansion, he's going to be absolutely engaged. And I think he's going to bring the same type of, you know, very, very conservative views, very conservative principles and policies, to state government. And those are policies like limited government and fiscal responsibility and rooting out some of the wokeness that exists in the huge bureaucracy that's in Montgomery. And so all of those things I'm very excited about. And yes, to your point, you know, those are some of those things are very markedly different from the current administration.
Well, that's the hope, right? We assume that, but I suspect that it will be correct in the end. Hey, you and I were talking about this off air, the mud dumping. It continues in the Mobile Bay from the dredging. And, you know, the Army Corps doesn't seem to be moved by any public outcry. They just, well, whatever, you know, y'all go back to whatever it is you do all day. But you're telling me, now, Senator Britt had a mandate that, you know, they had to use this spoil for beneficial use, and this is, you tell me how they got around it here.
Yeah, I heard this yesterday, and I hate to just kind of put something that's secondhand out there on the radio, but with your listeners understanding that I haven't heard this directly from the Corps of Engineers, but apparently they've decided, you know, again, secondhand, but they've decided that spraying mud on top of the water and in the water column, this open water disposal is somehow or another beneficial use, and therefore is okay, according to the very folks that issued the permit and the very folks that are trying to get around the requirements that the Congress has put in place to use this in a certain manner. And it's just so frustrating. I mean, you have Senator Britt, Senator Tuberville, you know, Congressman Moore and others trying to make sure that they put guardrails on the funding that they're sending the Corps to do this the right way, or at least the vast majority of it the right way. And you seem to have the Corps just going around that, just saying whatever, not just whatever to all of the citizens down here that are conservative, liberal, moderates, environmentalists, conservationists, just people that don't want to see happening to, you know, what's happening to the Bay, happening to the Bay. And yet they just ignore it and say, we're going to do what we're going to do, and tough. And so, I think, you know, I'm in D.C. later this month. I intend to speak with both Senator Britt and Senator Tuberville about this. I mean, these guys have got to be made to find a different way to dispose of this material. Nobody wants to stop the dredging of the channel. Nobody wants to shut down the port. Nobody wants that to happen. But universally, almost, we want them to find an alternative method to deal with the spoil material from the dredging that's currently going on and from the maintenance dredging that will go on in this channel forever. Come up with a reasonable solution, a better solution. We've already got a spoil island out there in Gilliard Island that is there for the Theodore Industrial Canal. Let's talk about building, you know, funding and building another one to handle this. I mean, this is not complicated. It's pretty straightforward. What's also straightforward is spraying a bunch of mud into Mobile Bay right off of Point Clear, which is what they're doing right now, is not good practice and not good policy. Needs to stop.
So, and I was thinking about this while you were talking. When we build our boat slip, Senator, out there on the Mobile Bay, yeah. And we dump the spoil back into the bay, we could claim beneficial use?
Good luck with that. You know, and that's been my frustration from the very beginning. They would never let you or I or anybody else do what they're doing right now. They wouldn't let it happen. They would never permit that. And they certainly would never buy us saying, oh, this is beneficial. I mean, it's just so, it's a double standard, and it's a double standard on a huge mechanized scale with, you know, millions of tons of spoil. It's just, it's absurd. It doesn't pass the smell test, and it needs to stop. And again, if you've got me, this good conservative pro business, pro economic development guy, that's also looking at this and saying, "God, this is not okay. I mean, it's really not okay." Then maybe it's time to stop and listen just a little bit. But they sure haven't, and so we'll see. There's some options at the state level that have been done in other states, and we may be forced into looking at some of those if the Corps is going to continue to just not listen to what lawmakers are saying.
What could that be? Just hypothetically, walk us through those possibilities.
Yeah, so you know what they are doing right now is disposing of spoil in state waters. They are disposing this dredge material on state bottom lands, right, is what the bottom of the bay is, and that belongs to the state. And so there are, the state has jurisdiction there. There are laws that can be put in place that can keep that from happening, and it's been done in other states. A legislative solution is not always the best one, and I'm not sure that it's one here, but at some point, these folks have got to listen and understand that what they are doing is not okay. I would like to work with them to find another option. I would like to work with them to advocate for funding for a responsible way to deal with this dredge material. But simply ignoring legislative leaders and ignoring the cacophony of voices that is out there saying this is a horrible thing is not okay, and it is not going to go unanswered.
Well, what would keep them from saying, well, we're the federal government, we have supremacy here, there's nothing you can do about it?
I'm not sure that's the case. And if you look at other states like Maryland and other places, they have been successful in keeping the Corps from disposing of dredge material in this matter. Because at the end of the day, you know, federal waters are out there in the Gulf. These are state waters. That is state land. It's not federal land. And so I think there are ways to thwart this. Again, the problem is I don't want to stop dredging of the ship channel. I don't. I want to move towards a more responsible way to handle this. I want a plan in place to deal with the maintenance dredging that is going to occur in perpetuity. And so let's just get on the same page and advocate for the funding and say, hey, we want to do this responsibly in the future. Let's get on with it. And so I call on them to come to the table and really change their attitude about this, or we may end up with something that's an imperfect solution that really, really doesn't allow them to do what they're doing right now and now or in the future. And that's going to cause disruptions. I don't want to go that way, but they need to cooperate.
Well, do they this guy, the state senator here, he's standing in the way of progress. He's a tree hugger. He's just as bad as the liberals out there. I mean, I not that they actually care enough to do something like that, but you see where I'm going here.
Jeff, I hear you. And I guess, I don't know how long have we been doing this? How many of your listeners think any of those labels that you just listed apply to me?
Right.
But at the end of the day, what they are doing in Mobile Bay is wrong. And the vast majority, the overwhelming majority, think that it's wrong. Of my constituents think that it's wrong. The scientists that I have talked to don't think it's a great idea. They may look at it and go, well, because they may be really, really wary of upsetting the Corps of Engineers that issues a lot of permits that they do. But at the end of the day, this is the cheapest way for them to dispose of the material, the easiest way for them to dispose of the material. It is absolutely causing increasing turbidity in the bay. Listen to the shrimpers. Listen to the fishermen. Listen to the oystermen. Heck, listen to the kids that are trying to go swim in the bay. And it's clear as a bell. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to represent my district and I'm going to represent my constituents. And they think this is a bad idea. I think this is a bad idea. I think any thinking person that is watching this, as it continues to happen, thinks it's a bad idea. And so I just urge the Corps to cooperate and work towards, with other elected officials, both state and federal, to find a reasonable solution to deal with this in a better way.
Well, talk about turbidity and... this is where I get pushback from people who are sure. Less educated. What's the harm here? What are we really How much is this really impacting day-to-day life in the Bay?
So one of the most disappointing arguments I've heard from the other side is you're not hurting Mobile Bay because it's already so bad. And so, you know, spraying a layer of mud on the bottom isn't negatively impacting anything because everything that was down there is already dead. Or it's some worm, or it's some, you know, remnant of grass that's not even there anymore. The oysters are already gone, and so why bother? And that's not only, I think a ridiculous argument. I think it's an offensive argument. I really do. We've already screwed up the Bay, from a multitude, admittedly, of different practices. So why not just keep doing it? And that's a horrible argument. Ecosystems recover. We've stopped doing things in Perdido Bay, for instance, and you know the paper mill that was up there that was disposing into the bay and causing all kinds of harm. They've cleaned up their act. They're doing things a whole lot better, and the bay's recovering. But tourism, clean water, our very way of life is dependent on the quality of the water in that bay. And I just cannot understand the logic of we'll continue to spray all this black mud sediment into the water column and act like it's not causing any harm to the fish, crabs, oysters, shrimp, or even the little whatever that's living on the bottom still that we haven't killed yet. Let's give this bay a chance to actually recover and stop screwing it up.
Senator, we'll leave it on a high note there, but thanks for making time for us this morning.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and y'all have a great weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.